continue to move forward. I think it sounds great. I think it sounds beautiful. Let's take our Bibles out this morning, if you will. We're going to get back into our mindset series. This is part two this morning. We began last week to look at the topic of desire. We looked at the topic of desire, and of course, this is topic number six in our lesson. We've been speaking on this ever since the very first Sunday of 2019, and so obviously we're looking to continue on as much as we can. So open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 37, Psalm 37. If you're willing and able to this morning, once you get there, I ask you to please stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Psalm and chapter 37 is where we will begin this morning. Amen and amen. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1, the Bible tells me, says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Father, again, we come to you this morning. We ask that you may bless our service this morning, dear God, beyond that of our praising of your name and our fellowship to follow. But we ask you this morning that if you will, spend this brief period of time with us in the message today. And bear witness upon our heart what we need in this life. Father, I pray that we don't look so far beyond our days into what reaping we shall rejoice and lose the blessings that you've given us in the moments in the here and now. Father, under the same token, I pray that we would not focus so much on the here and now and forget what days are set before us in the hereafter. So Lord, let us be balanced in our worship. Let us be balanced in our wisdom, dear God. Let us be balanced in our walk. Let us be balanced in our works today and our ways. And Lord, we'll give you honor and glory and praise. And we thank you, Lord God, for the mighty gifts you've given us. I want to thank you publicly for your wonderful grace. And I pray you'd continue to bestow it upon us here this morning. In Jesus Christ's glorious and wonderful name, we do ask these things. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for standing. I appreciate you taking the time to do so and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Now, beloved, last week we looked at the two-sided sword of desire. The one side is that of the flesh, and this side of desire tends to result in the believer being drawn away. Again, I said that it was a tricky element in the Christian mindset about this being drawn away. As a matter of fact, we referenced what James had said. James clearly said, "But every man is tempted. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Now, beloved, I want to reinforce this thought and this idea of what we referenced with James is that no one, and I mean no one, is exempt from the side of this sword. No man is exempt from being drawn away by his own desires. No woman is exempt from being drawn away by their own desires. No child is exempt from being drawn away by their own lust and enticed into this world. Beloved, the world makes its living. It makes millions off of drawing people away from doing the right thing. The other side of desire is our drive that we spoke about last week. We looked at our environment, our choices. We looked at our habits and our decisions that we make in this life on a daily basis that drives us by the desire of our own heart. Beloved, these desires can be led by the Spirit of God, which will render the fruit of the Spirit, which will bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness into your life. Or these desires can be led by the flesh, which will only produce the works of the flesh, which result in loss. I heard a man, a very close friend of mine, an older preacher, say this years ago, well over 20 years ago, he was preaching this message, this idea of the desires. Not this sermon here, obviously, but he was preaching about what's inside of our hearts. He was preaching about the desires that are inside of us, and he likened it unto this illustration. He said, "Within your heart today are deep, dark, devilish, deceiving desires that are sat there pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. And over, they're never resting. Sometimes they slow down, sometimes they get faster. But they're constantly, they are daily, they are minute by minute, moment by moment, looking for a door to be opened so that it may unleash its havoc upon your personal life. And beloved, we must face the facts today that inside of every one of our sinful heart, there are these desires for them to be released to destroy our life. Where do they come from? They come from the sin in the Garden of Eden. And every soul conceived in this world has those desires inside of their heart, my friend. And they're just looking for an opportunity to get out. Now, before your mind runs somewhere, someplace, and you're thinking, well, I don't have this, and this temptation, beloved, everybody has something inside of their hearts. It may just be pride. It may just be haughtiness. It may just be lifting yourself up. It may be sensual desires. It may be angry desires. It may be confrontational desires. It may be cantankerous, whatever it may be, but they're there. And they're walking back and forth, and they're looking for the opportunity to be released in your life so that havoc may be played in your days. Beloved, desire is strong. It is one of the strongest emotions in our lives. It's a mighty force, beloved. We mentioned Lewin's equation last week, which states that behavior is a function of the person in their environment. Now, beloved, this does not mean that you'll automatically behave identically to those that are around you. But it does mean that you must make a decision to either conform or be transformed. Hands down. There is no middle ground. There is no partial move. There is no avenue that you can play in straddling the fence in the environment that you're living in. You're either going to be conformed to those that are around you, or be transformed by the renewal of your mind into the image of God. That's the choice that you have to make. And that, my friend, is what we're looking at under the topic of desire. It is an irrevocable truth, my friend. We have a desire to conform. But by nature, we are a tribal people. In our existence, we have a tribal mentality. We want to belong to a group. And if you sit there in your pew today, or if you're listening to this in the car somewhere, or you're listening to this in some other venue this morning or this evening or wherever it may be, if you're sat there and you're saying, not me, press God, I don't want to conform. That's not going to be me. You're lying to yourself, me, and God right now. Amen. I'm just telling you that. You're telling me that conformity is not a power in a person's life, and I'm telling you that peer pressure is one of the things that leads people down a damnable road to hell more every day than almost anything there is. People are addicted to drugs today, not because they decided by themselves to go up and make some meth alone. They are addicted to drugs today because one of their friends, one of their neighbors, one of their counterparts, or even worse, their family members, amen, got them hooked on that, amen. That's why. Same thing with alcohol. Same thing with sexuality and promiscuity and all this, that people want to belong. They have a desire to conform to those that are around them. And you have to make that choice today to either be driven to godliness or driven to ungodliness. And there's a fine line between the two. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. And beloved, herein, where our affection is placed will determine how we behave. Did you hear that? Did you get that this morning? Where our affection is placed will determine how we behave. Where our affection resides will be the drive of our desire. So beloved, you must choose, and you must choose well. The Bible clearly gives us a reason why. The Bible tells us that every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Even in the right things that we do, even in the good things that we do, the Lord is evaluating as to whether or not you're doing them for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. You see, beloved, desire can lead the Christian to be drawn away, or desire can drive us to or from the Lord. One of the two. It can draw us away from God, it can drive us to the Lord, or it can drive us away from the Lord. That's the two-edged sword of desire. And so, beloved, make no mistake today. It's a choice that you must make. It's a choice, a decision that you have to make in your life. No matter where you are in your Christian life, no matter where you are in your Christian days, it's something that we must do and do well. So, we will either be drawn away and driven by our surroundings, or today, point number three, final point of the sermon, we must simply delight in the ways of God. Look, if you will, in Psalm 37 and verse 4, where we left off last week. Verse 4 tells us, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I'll say it again to you. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Beloved, when our desire, and understand this morning, when our desire is directed to the Lord and we delight in him, in turn, our desire in our heart is conformed to the will of God. We've heard it so often many a times. We've heard preachers get up in the pulpits. We've heard great men get up. We've heard missionaries say it, evangelists say it. We've heard men get up there and preach missions conference who's never been on a mission field a day in their life. And what they've said is true, but they don't know it by experience. They know it by reading other people's books. And they've gotten up and they said that the will of God will never take you where the supply of God will not protect you. And I believe that this morning. I do. If it is God's will for you to go across the street, then God will provide a way for you to go across the street. If it's God's will for you to be in a set country, God will provide a way for you to get. It doesn't mean we don't have to work and labor. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through pain. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through struggles. Listen, I don't believe God's going to give anything for free, praise the Lord. Salvation comes to us for free, and that's it, amen. And it came with but it didn't come for free in general. It came with the cost of the life of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. If you want to do something right in this life, you're going to have to delight in the ways of the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of the heart, but your desires of your heart will be according to his will, praise the Lord. So do you know why we fret in life? How many of you have ever been fearful? How many of you have ever had a panic attack? Now, I don't think I've ever had an absolute bona fide panic attack in my life. And I thought I was getting one time. I mentioned to Denise what it was, and it was up. It was just but for a few minutes. And I was, because I'm real smart, I'm saying that facetiously, I decided to climb down a cliff in the Grand Canyon when we were there one year. And about halfway back up that thing, I was at that moment to where I was on a ledge, all right? This is dumb, guys, don't do this. You know, don't try this at home, you'd say. And I was hooked on here with one hand and one foot. And I was latched onto this thing like a cat. Like, I mean, and it, for one moment, you know how you feel when you try to turn your head like that, the whole body begins to go. I thought I was gone. And I mean, for just about a few seconds, my heart began to, it just started pounding. And I could feel my face getting quite flushed. I literally had to just stop and say, okay, hang on. Count to 10, and my heart rate slowed back down, and I shimmied up there, and then I made an agreement, I'll never do that again. Amen. And I haven't even gone back there since then, praise the Lord. I'm saying that to say this, guys. Have you ever gotten into panic mode? You ever begin to fret in your life? You ever gotten frustrated in your days? You know one of the reasons, and typically the main reason, think about this for just a second. The main reason we begin to fret, panic, get frustrated, and maybe even borderline angry, the main reason that happens in our life is because our joy is under attack. And you say, preacher, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, it makes all the sense in the world. When your joy is under attack, when your joy is about to be taken from you for whatever reason it may be, we begin to fret. Now, there's a reason that happens. I made this comment to Denise on the way in this morning. I said, hey, you know what happens when the light turns green? And if you don't go, the guy behind you turns red. And Bailey gave me a laugh. She was the only one. Denise gave me a head shake like I'm, you know, what. I thought it was funny, maybe a dad joke, but I laughed. And I'm going to keep laughing. I'm probably going to keep saying it. But here's what I'm saying to you. You're in a red light. You're ready to go somewhere. You're ready to get where you need to go. You have on a short schedule maybe, or a short time frame, and that light turns amber and red at the same time, we know. And that's the time that we're getting ready to let the foot off the brake and off the clutch and move on forward with our acceleration. And the people in front of you, they don't go. And it irritates you. You know why? Because you want to leave. because you want to get to where you're going. Do you know why that happens, guys? Because your joy is dependent on getting where you're going on time. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that's inherently wrong, but I'm using that as an illustration this morning for you to understand that when we feel like our joy, our happiness, our peace, our contentment, the things that we have in this life, when we feel like it is being attacked and we might lose it, that's why we fret, and that's why we panic, and that's why we get frustrated, and that's why we get irritated in these days. When you feel like your life is about to be robbed of the joy that is there, frustration, irritation, anger possibly begins to set in. Your delight is lost. You see, beloved, there's only one source of joy which can never be attacked in our life. And that is the joy that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If your joy, if you're finding joy, if you're finding joy as your central theme or your central focus in other things, they can be attacked and you can lose them, and therefore you will lose that joy. It doesn't mean that you cannot enjoy things in this life. It can, as a matter of fact, it's quite the contrary, to be honest with you. Everyone, I believe, they need an out. They need some type of hobby. And again, I'm the pot calling the kettle black. We've forced ourselves to get a hobby. I tried for years fishing. Fishing bores the living daylights out of me. I don't like fishing. I like catching. And if I throw that thing out in the water and I don't catch something in 15 seconds, I'm packing up going home. All right, that's me. I don't have the patience for fishing. I do enjoy hunting. You can't hunt necessarily over here. But same thing with honey, man. By the time daybreak happens, if something ain't coming across that area where I am in that stand, and I don't, a deer, whatever, and if about 30 minutes later, I'm ready to go home. I mean, it's just, I don't sit well. I'd rather sit and read, amen, than just sit somewhere doing something like that. I tried golfing. As a matter of fact, played golf for the first time with Davith a week before last, first time in 4 years to the week that I've played. Had a great time. We walked the course. It was enjoyable. And I know a lot of pastors, that's what they do. They play golf. I went back to what is normal for me, working out. That's what I've done all my life. So my out and my family's out is lifting. We'll work out. That's our out. That's our hobby. And then we're back to work. Amen. But you know what? My joy is not found in a gym. Beloved, we need that out. But if we are placing our form and our place of peace, if we're finding our joy solely in sunsets and golf and working out or woodworking or singing or hiking or whatever it may be, those are all things, my friend. Every single one of those things can be under attack, and you can lose them. And if your joy is resting in those things right there, you're susceptible of losing your joy in this life. You're going to lose your delight. Beloved, you can still partake in these things and delight in the Lord. That is the key. If our affections are set on things that are above, our mindset is focused on the correct source, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy can be full. Peace can be in our life. The peaceable fruit of righteousness, even in the midst of storms, can be present in our days and our desires in check. It's a chain reaction that follows suit. It goes forward from the disciplined mindset that we spoke about in January and Feb. It's the disciplined mindset leading into the right decisions, which takes us in the right directions, which we have to defend with the occasional defeat in our life. But herein is where desire is most prevalent, because the temptation when problems come, the temptations when storms occur, the temptation when other elements of this life are not hitting on all cylinders, the temptation when it comes in our life is to drop the discipline and give heed to being drawn away through the worldly flesh and drive of desire. But to combat this, beloved, to combat against temptation, what do? We delight also in the Lord. We delight in the Lord, beloved, and it resets and it reinforces that our affections are set on things above, that our affection is set on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is when joy, even though battled, this is when joy, even though attacked, this is when joy, even though when it's on the verge of being lost, that we can say with the psalmist in Psalm 112, verse 7, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I spoke about the word trust last week by way of introduction, and I said that the word trust, when we read it in certain areas of the Holy Scripture, is not just basic simple faith, but it is in the position to where a person has no visible resources whatsoever, and they are prostrate before the God only, solely trusting in the Lord. Now let me ask you this question here. How do we get to that point of not looking at any visible resources whatsoever, only looking vertical unto the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we get to that point without having to go through the struggles, without having to go through the loss at times? Beloved, we get to that point by delighting in the Lord. How do we get to the point of delighting in the Lord solely, that our desires be conformed unto Him, that our mind be transformed by the renewing of our mind? How in the world do we get to that point? Well, this is what Paul said. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. There's three things concerning someone who is crucified that is indelibly correct. Number one, they're fixed in one place. They're going nowhere soon. Number two, they're facing one direction. And number three, they're finished with self. Those are the three things. When Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, you know what? He's fixed in one direction. He's delighting in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, he's facing one direction. He is facing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's delighting also in the Lord. And beloved, when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, he's finished with himself, but trusting solely and faithfully in the Savior. So many people misread verse 4 of Psalm 37. They look at Psalm 37, they read verse 4, and they think that if I love God, then I can have anything that I want. They equate the desires of their heart with getting anything that they want in this life. And my friend, that's not the case. If you love the Lord, if you delight in the Lord, you've got what you want. And this is what it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and you'll have the desires of your heart, which is the Lord. You'll have Him, because that will be your desire when you delight in God. Do you see here this morning, guys, how that drive and how being the temptation of being drawn away is counteracted by simply delighting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because your desires, as I said in the beginning, your desires are conformed to the will of God when you delight in Him. And therefore, that two-edged sword of desire, that of drive and that of being drawn away, is yielded to nothing and has no effect on you whatsoever, because your delight is in that in which is eternal. My friend, to be crucified with Christ is to be fixed, faced, and finished. So if you love the Lord, your innermost need is the Lord Himself, nothing else. So I ask you this question here this morning. Is Jesus Christ your chief desire of your heart today? I mean, when you stop and you look at what you desire in this world, in this life, what do you desire in the days that God has given you on this earth? Is it solely, faithfully, and fully Jesus Christ and Him living in you? Now, the problem that we've made in our circles is that we've tried to say anything outside of that delight, anything outside of that desire, meaning any kind of extracurricular activity, just wicked and it's carnal, it's fleshly, and you shouldn't do it. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. Because the men that I've seen that have held to this belief have locked themselves up in the four walls of the church. I read a quote last night. It was, I lost his name, who it was by, but I think it was C.H. Spurgeon, come to think of it. I may be wrong. No, it wasn't. It was J. Frank Norris, an old famous Texan preacher down there, Fort Worth Baptist, pastored two churches at the same time back in the 30s, Fort Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, and Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. Went back and forth to polar opposite places in the United States, North and South. He pastored those two churches. They burned two churches out from underneath him in Texas and tried to blame him on it. One guy called him one time. He says, J. Frank, I'm coming over there to get you. I'm going to come and shoot you dead. And you know what? The guy showed up at the church, and what did J. Frank do? He got the He got the draw on him, and he shot him. And you say, oh, how's that? Hey, listen, J. Frank didn't play. He was a man of his own words. He said exactly what he meant. He meant what he said. As a matter of fact, J. Frank Norris is the one that pulled them out of the Southern Baptist because there wasn't enough money going to the mission field as it was considered to be. He's considered to be the father of the modern-day independent Baptist movement. Where are you taking that money? And he sent that money to the mission field. And I'm saying all that to say this. He said, you're not going to get the world in the church until you get the church in the world. You got to get out of it. That's not talking about worldliness. I'm not saying that. Neither was he. That's not saying you have a rock concert up here with purple lights and pink and smoke. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying to get off our ever-widening horizons in a pulpit and get out there in the streets and beat the streets and witness to people in this world today. If the church doesn't get out from behind the four walls, you're never going to get people in the village and in the valley inside the four walls of the church. It'll never happen. Amen. That's like I learned in business years, decades ago, if not 20 plus years ago, that anyone who does no marketing whatsoever is like a man sitting in a closet with the door closed and the light off. He's winking his eye. He knows what he's doing, but no one else does. My friend, we have to get busy. We have to be busy, and our delight must be in the Lord Jesus Christ, so our desires will be conformed unto His will and His will solely. And in doing so, we can ask God to widen our footprint of effect and influence in this world today. And I promise you this morning that if you will pray that prayer and delight in the will of God in your life, God will do it for you. He'll do it for me. Amen. Corrie Ten Boom said, look around you and you'll be distressed. She said, look within and you'll be depressed. But look to the Lord and you'll be at rest. Delight yourself in the Lord, she said. Beloved, the Christian mindset is a learning process. For lack of better terms, it is a school. And God is going to put you in this school. And He'll teach you to trust Him one way or another. He's not going to let you out of school. He's not going to put you in detention. He's not going to suspend you. He's going to put you in the school. And He's going to continue to put you through the school until you delight in Him and Him alone. So, beloved, can you say with the psalmist this morning, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Beloved, family, wealth, homes, jobs, all of these things can be attacked. If your desire is carried in these things, if you're trying to find peace and you're trying to find joy and happiness in those things, guys, I'm telling you here this morning that they can be attacked and you're going to suffer loss. 1929, when the stock markets crashed in the States, people were jumping out of windows, they were jumping out of buildings. You know why they were doing that? They were jumping out of buildings because that's where their delight was. Their delight and their joy and their peace in this life was found in their fortune. And when they lost their fortune, they figured life was over. And they jumped. So ask yourself this question. Are you allowing your desire this morning? Are you allowing your desire to draw you away or drive you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ by delighting in Him? Can I say this to you and I'm done? It's a choice. It's a choice that we must make. I can't make that choice for Daniel. I can't make that choice for Preston or Davith. I can't make that choice. I can make it for myself and myself alone. It stems in how we think. Our behavior is controlled and dictated, if you will, by the position of our mind toward Christ. This is what we've been talking about for nigh on to 6 months. This is what we've been talking about this entire year, this Christian mindset. The mindset of being disciplined, doing the things that you don't want to do because it's going to help you reach the goals that you need to reach, and not doing the things that you want to do because it's going to hinder from you reaching the goals that you need to reach. The three decisions that you must make by setting the bar and being better and blaming not. Those major decisions in our life that are associated with everything that we do, those decisions in this Christian mindset. Not only the decisions that we need to make, but once they're made and once you're disciplined, you go in the direction that God will grant you to go in. And from that direction, guys, they must set a defense to defend the ground that God has given us. And from that, we're going to face defeats. You're going to face defeat in your life. You're going to face defeat in this mindset. You're going to have struggles. And it's there, my friend, where your desires will come into play. The mindset of desire today, beloved. Make the choice today to control it rather than it controlling you. That's the choice. That's where our joy resides. My friend, that's where we need to rest this morning. We put in our faith, our trust, and our dependence in the one who saved our soul. I pray today that where your desires are is the delight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not this morning, when we close in prayer here in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take that opportunity to search your own heart. And beloved, if you be found wanting, if your desires are locked in, if they're settled in anything else solely than that of Jesus Christ today, make that choice. Make that change. Rest in Him. We've talked about the Sabbath. You know, we look, the Sabbath is not a day, but a Sabbath is a rest. And we have rested in Christ. Therefore, our Sabbath is 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 in a leap year. My friend, have you rested in Jesus Christ? Are you delighting in Him this morning so that the desires of your heart is Him and Him alone? Will you bow your heads with me today? Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for who and what you are, for all that you've done. We pray now for your continual direction, your mercy. We pray forgiveness of where we have failed you. But Lord, we pray these desires, dear God, would rest upon our hearts, that, Lord, we would evaluate where we are with you and by you so that we may bring honor and glory to you in this life. That, Father, even in the extracurricular things that we are doing today, that, Father, we may be an example of Jesus Christ in this world so that we may win people to Christ, so that we may get out of the church and get into the world, that we may compel them to come in, Father. And, Lord, they're not going to be compelled, Lord, if we're not set in our ways. Lord, I love you and I thank you for who you are and what you are. And I just simply pray this morning that you would watch over us. Take this message and write it upon our heart. Let it be convicting. Let us evaluate our life today to see if our desires is that of delighting in the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. I trust and hope and pray that God was good to you this morning in the preaching and teaching of His Word. Amen.